Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We are back, final hour, and let's get right back to the calls. And Terry is up next in Missouri. Hello, Terry.
Hi there, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I'm so disappointed in SEC basketball. You know, Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee, Arkansas, I'm the best fan of them. So, and I think Texas A&M, that was a disgrace, them not getting in. And do you think that Arkansas can beat Gonzaga if they play the good Arkansas instead of the bad Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, I think my gut reaction to your question is no, I don't think they can win. Usually that's where somebody in my position starts equivocating. I think if Gonzaga plays like it did last Thursday or Friday, I can't remember, whatever day they played, the first game, I mean, they played terribly. They turned it on finally in the second half against Memphis. I mean, they had really 1.5 terrible games. So if you want to find some reason for joy, that's it. But my feeling is they're going to turn it on when they get to this game.
Okay. What do you think about Texas A&M? That's a disgrace they didn't get in the tournament.
Well, I agree with you. It's, you know, there are a lot of explanations for it, and there's no good ones.
What are they? They beat Florida, Auburn, and Arkansas. If there had been a Big Ten team playing that, they'd have got in. You know, it's a disgrace. I mean, it really is. But.
Well, ultimately, they made it difficult on themselves with that losing streak. And
I agree with that.
The committee just simply did not pay enough attention, or maybe any attention, to what happened in the SEC tournament. It's too bad. Hey, thank you very much for the call. You bet. Take care of yourself. Billy is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Billy.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of your show, big Southeastern Conference fan.
Yes, sir.
Ole Miss Rebel fan. But I want to talk about a guy now that called Mississippi State football games. Earlier today, a guy called into your show, and you were discussing radio commentators, and some of them were very good. But in my opinion, Jack Crystal was one of the best I ever heard. And when Jack was calling the game, it was almost like watching it on television. You know, he didn't get excited. He had a good speaking voice, very accurate on his calls. And do you remember this guy?
I'm remiss by not mentioning him because I grew up listening to Jack in Memphis, on the local affiliate there. And I got to meet him later on. As great of an announcer as he was a better person to meet. What a just a genuinely great person. He was very descriptive. He had great command of the English language, which isn't easy to do. And he was absolutely fantastic. I'm thankful you called because I should have remembered Jack.
Yes, Jack was a great guy. I mean, he didn't get excited, Paul. And his accuracy was fantastic. And do you remember it when the games were winding down with Mississippi State? Might be ahead and was sure they were going to win the game.
Right.
He'd say, we're going to wrap this one up in maroon and white.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
I do remember that. So great. No, I would rank Jack among the very, very best of all time.
Yes, I would too. The ones I've heard, and I've heard some good ones. There've been some good ones out there.
No, he just had. He had one of the most memorable voices because it was just so rich. As a broadcaster, I envy these guys because I'm not a broadcaster, by the way. I do that now, but I wasn't brought up and taught how to do it. And I mean, he didn't miss a word. He described it. He got the diction correctly, and he was fantastic.
Again, I would say in listening, I listened to a lot of games that he broadcast. It was almost like watching the game.
Yeah.
With his description of the game and all. And, all right, I appreciate you taking my call. Another thing. Does he really get enough recognition, even in Mississippi? You very seldom see it, even in Starkville.
No, I agree.
But again,
in fact,
one
of my close friends, Larry Templeton, who I'm sure you know, we have talked about Jack a lot, and I know he got mentioned in that – Kenny Chesney documentary last fall, but he probably does not get enough. And I'm the perfect example of it because I remember him vividly, and I just got through mentioning four or five play-by-play guys and forgot about him. So I think that's actually a compliment to Jack because he was so low-key. He did it for so long, and that's he had a real job, too. Most of these guys do not only broadcast the games. Thank you very much for the call. We could talk about this all day, and one day we will. Elliot is in Ohio. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hey,
thank
I
you.
Wanted to – last week, Legend was throwing some shade my way about the thoughts I had on the SEC, and now – this week we see that Kentucky's gone down, Tennessee's gone down, LSU's gone down. I think if the football program expanded, we might see similar things. Purdue could take anybody out any given day. Wisconsin could take somebody down. What do you think about that?
I think football is a completely different sport for upsets. Of course you have them. We've seen it, but the regularity of upsets in football is not as common because there you have so much more time to prepare. It happens in the first round of the tournament, but a lot of times the upsets occur on the turnaround game, the Thursday, Fridays, the Thursday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday. But I think we would have more. Right now, there are very few upsets. If you go over the history of the CFP, in finding upsets, you have the biggest one. I remember Ohio State beat Alabama in year one. And I'm trying to remember as I go through. Certainly, Clemson beating Alabama once or twice, but not monumental upsets. But there are rarely big upsets in the CFP.
Hey, do you think that Michigan has a chance to go all the way? I'm really impressed with how the team's rallying. And I think that incident earlier with Juwan Howard and the trouble we got into by pushing that coach, that almost rallied his team. He's down people, and he's taking it out. I think he has a chance to go.
Yeah, it's interesting. You look at Michigan's bracket, and, every game right now is a challenge, Villanova and then the Arizona-Houston winner. You could get an upset in the Houston Arizona game the way Arizona played the other day. So I think it's possible. I would bet heavily against them, but it would be remarkable. And Michigan fans may remember what was it 89 when Steve Fisher took over and led the Wolverines to a national championship. You remember, Bill Frieder was the coach. He went to Bo Schembech, or I think right before the conference tournament, and said he was taking, the Arizona State job. I don't know. It's only been 33 years, and Bo fired him. He said, "You're done. You're not coaching another game." And Steve Fisher came on, and next thing you know, the Wolverines go all the way. I'm sure Jeff from Columbus remembers that from his youth. Jeff, good afternoon.
Why are you bringing up that nonsense, Paul?
Well, it's hard to come up with a national championship in modern time for Ohio State. You have to go back to Bobby Knight's era.
Hey, but didn't the Wolverines lose that title for indiscrepancies?
Well, I don't know. In fact, they may have.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, before I get what I really wanted to call about, I want to mention a couple callers. I had to laugh last week. It sounds like a lot of other callers are realizing or questioning the validity of Augie being an attorney, because it seems like a lot of people are calling him a paralegal other than me. Have you noticed that?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to. So right now, you're up against you haven't seen Augie yet. You're in a different bracket.
No, but Paul, I realize there's no way.
So do you think he's a paralegal? What do you have evidence of that?
Yeah, I told you he's a paralegal. I'm the one that coined him the paralegal. I mean, I told you that. I don't trust the guy. But what's funny is, Paul, how about if he is an attorney and you're one of his clients? And you heard him in that phone a few last week with Joe from Red Bay. Would that make you a little nervous? I'd be checking my retainer on that deal.
I don't mean to be blowing back on everything you say, but I thought Augie handled that call with a great deal of aplomb. You don't think so?
Well, he did a little bit. He had a couple wise cracks that are canned jokes. I mean, that. Every one of Augie's calls are canned, just like his jokes, if you want me to be honest. But, you know, Joe's original, man. At least Joe's original.
So you're saying it's original to talk about washing somebody else's underwear?
Or a swirly.
Well, that's original.
Paul,
I agree with you.
I got to crack on you a little bit, too. Why are you so rude to cheerleader last week? I thought you were awfully rude to cheerleader last week. I mean, she basically offered to host the caller party, and you just basically shut her off.
Well, I really
What's
wasn't.
Wrong with cheerleader?
How about me not being interested in her hosting the caller party, Jeff?
Well, that's what I want. Explain to us why you're so rude to her. You were basically nasty to her, I thought.
Well, you may be right, but that's what I did. I mean, Jeff, I don't.
I mean, there you go again.
Call.
Just like I asked you about Brando and Danny, you start to tap dance. You got nervous, Paul. I mean, just tell us.
Jeff, I think you know me pretty well. You can ask me any question you want. That doesn't mean I can give you an honest answer, because what you don't know is that Sankey's got a guy right off stage with a. I mean, I can't. I mean, if I start talking, the next thing you know. Yeah, I mean,
Sankey must have ankle braces on you now. I mean, jeebity Christmas.
So, Jeff, you always make these accusations that I won't answer the questions, but you never ask anything that's relevant.
Yeah, I do. That's why you tap dance around and when I back you into a corner. Hey, speaking of Sankey and the SEC, are the SEC coaches and media honks, are you all done whining and crying about the seeding and who didn't get in? I mean, where's Buzz Williams this week? That's what I want to know.
He's in the NIT.
Yeah, is he crying after a game anymore?
I do have some whining because I think it was unfair of the committee to make Tennessee be a number 3 seed.
Yeah. Yeah, where's all that crying at right this week? I mean, come on, guys.
Had they been the number two seed, they could have played St. Peter's.
That's right, exactly. But I mean, has anything been proven as the biggest waste of all time? The bracketology, and you know, Paul, the other thing I enjoy doing is cracking all these experts you roll in here all the time. These guys are. The basketball analysts and experts, are they ever right? I mean, let's be honest. And what's the purpose of bracketology? They're all wrong.
Jeff,
NCAA
they're not
tournament,
wrong. All the bracketologists are doing is projecting. By the way, Joe Lenardi, who does the bracketology for ESPN, he only got, 67 out of 68 right. These guys, they just give you a template for how they think it's going to go, and they're usually right.
A template you can tear up the next day,
no,
Paul.
No, you're wrong.
I mean,
Jeff, they're giving you a template for what the committee is going to do. They're not predicting the tournament by the seeds. It's like when Heather Dinich comes on here and says – here's how the projection is going to be Tuesday night. She's not telling us who's going to win when they play. She's just telling us what it's going to look like.
Okay, that's Lenardi. But when the brackets are announced and you got this 6 hours of bracketology where they act like they know what's going to happen, and
Jeff,
you
they, message, they, Paul. They don't act like they're human beings talking about a sport, making a prediction, and guess what? A lot of times the predictions are wrong. So sue me, okay?
Yeah, their predictions are a waste of time, Paul. Okay. Basically, they're a waste of time. They're not worth watching. Like you mentioned, the tournament's all about matchups, and it's also about who's hitting their shots on a given weekend, especially the three-point shots. These guys have no more clue than I do, and Joe from Red Bay. I mean, Joe from Red Bay knows more about basketball.
See, Jeff, you don't want to see. You're missing the point, though. You get all those guys on ESPN. That's what this show is for. This is for the average Joe or Jeff, in your case, to come on a national platform and make predictions, whether they're right or wrong.
Okay,
I have never heard anybody who's more upset with the experts than you.
Well, bring them in and let me challenge them on the air and ask them. If I could do their job as bad as they do, I would be gone. And the guys they critique are the coaches and the players. And hell, they would be fired if their winning percentages as a coach was as bad as their prediction percentage, Paul. That's my point.
And Jeff, I follow politics and every prognosticator, but I think one in 2016 picked the wrong person to be elected president, and that's easy. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars on polling data, and they were still wrong. So I don't know why you're so upset with guys who just make an honest prediction about a basketball game.
I don't know why you're not calling them out for how bad they
because
are.
Because Jeff, the truth is, I don't really care if they're right or wrong because I'm not going to Vegas with their predictions.
But you call out the coaches and the players when they don't perform.
The coaches are being paid close to $10 million a year. These guys at ESPN are not.
Okay, how much is Greenberg making? How much does Greenberg and Billis make?
Well, Greenberg's making a lot of money, that's for sure.
Yeah. And what's his performance record?
I would say he's judged by how many people he has watching his show every day, and the value that he brings the company, not whether he gets a prediction right at the end of the week.
Well, that's why I don't watch them. They don't have my viewership because
you know what, Jeff? I'm really
like
sorry to hear that.
I
know Mike is too. I'm going to call Mike after the show, and he is going to be devastated that you're not watching his show in the morning.
Well, I just think somebody needs to keep these guys in line. Next time you get them on, can I please come in and critique them?
By the way, what do you watch? If you don't watch ESPN because you seem to hate everybody there?
I watch the games, Paul. I watch the games.
Well, if you can find a game on at 8 o'clock in the morning, let me know. I'll be watching it too. Thanks, Jeff. We will come back with much more of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And back to the calls we go. We just heard from Jeff, who is still alive in the bracket contest. And now another one, many believe to be the favorite. Legend is next.
I went to the ring ceremony and a lot of kissing going on. Woo! Limousine driving, Rolex wearing. You know what time it is. Paul, it's been 3 years today since my mama passed, brother.
Whew. Oh, man, I do remember that. How are you coping with it?
I got me a double.
That may not be enough. Woo!
It may not be enough. It may be a triple. Maybe a triple, man. But, hey, man, thank you so much for your show. Your show to all of us fans is such an escape from reality, man, because life is hard sometimes, man. But for 4 hours a day, we can get away from the craziness and be a little crazy ourselves, man. Thank you so much, man.
Thank
you. Just listening today has encouraged me so much. Hey, Paul, the Elite Eight matchup tomorrow between me and Larry. Ex-Con versus Ex-Popo.
Well, I think you know how to handle him, don't you?
Well, you got on my man, Paul, that sees life as a keg half full.
It's kind of that's almost unfair for you to have to face him, but that's just the way it happened.
Andy, oh, this is out of the cell. Andy, legendary.
You could be facing Handsome Joe, who's on Twitter openly campaigning for votes.
I voted for you, Red Black Hatter. I voted for you, brother. I went to the prison yard and voted for you, Handsome Joe. I appreciate all the fans out there, all those that love me and all those that hate me, man. I admire them, man. You know, Jim came on here last week, Paul, and called me Judas because I betrayed him, he said. Yeah. But let me tell Jim something, and this is the honest damn truth. You have never, ever heard a legend come on this show, and you back me up on this, Paul, and tell me if I'm lying. You have never heard me disrespect a woman on this show, have you, Paul?
Never. Never.
Never. Me and Tammy was the best of friends. You was with me and Tammy over at the Avondale Brewery when they was fucking.
Oh, yeah. That was a blast.
Had me and Tammy in the water dunk tanks that night. Yeah, me and Tammy were great friends. I've never disrespected a woman. And I don't care if it's the president, my papa, my grandpapa, or my great-great-great-great-grandpapa. When you disrespect a woman, you lower than scum bucket to me, brother. And I'll face off with anybody that does it. The only problem I've ever had in life is with redneck 20 pounds, a donkey donk like you, brother. So you need to watch your mouth when you call me a betrayer and Judas, because if I'm Judas, you're Deuces. Legend friggin' out.
Woo. Quite a beat down there of the nameless Jim. Anyway, let's continue here. I don't know why I feel a response coming. Am I imagining that, guys?
Woo.
Jim is next.
Quite a beat down there. Well, you know, Paul, he tries to twist that from what reality was and did happen, as you well know. The woman came on and trashed me that day. Said all kind of things bad about me. All I did was respond to her. And if he calls that, you know, disrespecting, then he disrespects everybody on the show. I don't care what that guy says. He's proven to me what he's about. He's about no character. He's about a lie. He's about crazy talk. He's got a maniac laughter. The guy doesn't impress me whatsoever, but he's a liar, Paul. And we were friends. Here's the thing that burns me up. as you well know, Paul, and you can back me up on this like you back him up on things. I called many times and supported Legend, did I not?
You did. You certainly did.
And you, everybody thought, even
you. And by the way, Jim, I will back you on this too, because I was subjected to the same lady that you were subjected to a couple of days later,
right.
And it was
right.
She's clearly. She
revealed her true character,
yes,
to Paul.
Thank
and
you
I
for
saw
helping
it that
there.
Day. I was ahead of the curve. I saw it when she started getting on me like she did with her foul mouth. It was foul stuff. And that's why I got mad and responded to her. And he calls me disrespecting a woman. Well, his mind is twisted about what's respect and what isn't. I had a right to do what I did because she was trashing the hell out of me. And you can hear anger in my voice now because it's still there about that what happened that day. And for anybody to accuse me of this, I don't disrespect women. Ask Miss Faye. She's a lovely, but I also respect people that treat me right and treat others right. That's the way it works. You know, you treat somebody right. But I try to do what my grandmother taught me as a great Christian saint, and that is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And Legend don't do that. He ain't a legend. He was a legend. He ain't no more. And he named himself a legend. Who ever heard of a man naming himself? Your peers have to name you. I've been called a legend on this show. I never call myself a legend. I don't feel like a legend. But on Twitter, many people have said, I'm a legend. Even Daryl said one day to a guy, that guy's a legend. Don't talk about him. Talk about me. So that's a fact, Paul. And, yeah, I'm wound up, but I'm getting it out of my system. And I do thank you for that.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it very much. We're heading to a break. We still have 30 minutes remaining.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And update time on the bracket. We've got some advances. I-Man squashes Bama Nick as expected. And Jerome has beaten back Daryl. So that's two Alabama wins over... over Georgia contemporaries. So we've got a on the other side, we got Charles. Oh my goodness. So Charles has knocked off Handsome Joe. Is that correct? Charles has beaten back Handsome Joe. And Jeff from Columbus, he called too quickly. He's out. They have helped score a win. So there you got it. There you got it. We are down to what? To the Elite Eight? We got a Jim Augie matchup, huh? Legend Larry. That shouldn't be too tough. I-Man, Jerome, and Charles and Squirrel. Let's get the reaction from the loser, Handsome Joe.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And, hey, there ain't no losing in this. I mean, there's – hey, if you don't move on, you're not a loser. Because it's still – I mean, it's – you know, it depends on who's got a Twitter account. I mean, that's all it is, Paul. But, hey, congrats to Charles because, you know, I've said this, Paul. Charles is like your grandpa. It's hard to go against Charles. It is. And that's the only reason I tried to have the campaign, because Charles is, you know, that's a tough one to beat.
How do you feel considering, Joe, not to rub it in here, I know you just found out you lost, but Charles didn't even call, didn't campaign.
That's right, Paul. That's right. You don't have to, Paul. When you've been around as long as Charles has, you don't have to do that.
Okay.
But anyway, congratulations to Charles. See, I'm not a bad loser, Paul. I didn't get upset when we lost to Georgia in the national title game. I mean, because I done told you who's going to win this is legend. But I do got to compliment Jeff Fair a little bit. Although I think that may have been a down cut when he said that even I may know basketball, because, Paul, I don't know jack squat about basketball. I don't. But this happens every year in March. There's a lot of people whose brackets got busted this time of year because the only one I ready picked was Gonzaga to win it all. I mean, these other lower brackets, I didn't pick them because we know there's going to be some busting going on through there. And it's just, you know, hey, it is what it is. But anyway, congratulations to Charles and Squirrel. You know, I like Squirrel, but I do think Jeff is a better compelling caller than Squirrel. But, you know, that's just my opinion. But as far as Jim called in and said Legend's the only one that calls himself Legend, and I just want to remind Jim that everybody calls Legend. And Jim says he don't call this. Jim calls himself Compelling. The world calls him a jackass. So that's what he needs to understand. He's a jackass, and he does cut down women. He cuts down children. He cuts down men. He cuts down everybody, Paul, and that's the reason he has to stay in a little cocoon by himself, because that's all he is. And just so Jim knows, hey, Jim, the trash is getting picked up tomorrow, buddy. Be ready, dummy. Roll tide, roll, Paul.
Yes, Jim.
No, I didn't want you. I wanted to talk to the guy that answered the phone. I wanted to see if he thought that was an adequate response, but I guess I'm. I didn't mean to get on air.
Okay.
Nobody answered. We'll
go to I-Man next, then. Thank you. Backstage at the Feinbaum Show. I see Jim's name. I go to him. What else can I do? I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Now, I-Man, before you say, are you sure you want to be on the air? Because I just went to the previous guy who called in but didn't want to be on the air.
Yeah, I'm fine with conversation.
Okay.
You know, I'm looking at the bracket, and I just kind of heard what I heard with, you know, my little bracket with Nick. And when I looked at the bracket, I thought that it was an honor to be on the bracket. I don't know who's number one, two, three, four, any of the seeds. I just know that everybody on any given day, just like we've seen in the basketball tournament, is a good caller. Now, there's a couple that I would have swapped out with some other people, but their names escape me at this moment. But I thought that maybe Handsome Joe was a shoe-in on his race, Squirrel, Jerome for sure. But yeah, I'm humbled. I appreciate the votes. I'm not campaigning for anything. I'm appreciative of the fact that y'all thought enough of me to put me in the bracket.
Well, that's very humble of you.
I was listening to Jeff from Chicago earlier talking about all the pundits and their predictions, and you know, and I've been talking to you about basketball since February. I've watched a lot of college basketball this year, and you know, nobody saw what over half of the tournament's been upset, maybe close to it. Nobody saw all of this. I mean, nobody looks at the Kentucky and Tennessee and Auburn and even Alabama. I thought Alabama goes second round. I mean, Alabama's got they've got good players, but you never know what you're going to get with them. They kind of remind me of Auburn football last year, but they've got the players, and nobody would have predicted this. I think the last time I heard anybody national talking about the brackets, there are no perfect brackets out there because of the way the games are played. And I heard two of Jim's calls and a piece of that one right there. And I mean, when Jim takes off and he quits, is that for his mental health? We're hearing a lot of that now with the players and politicians and different people at their jobs. They're taking off, you know, they're taking a leave of absence because of their mental health. They need to focus on their mental health. Is that what Jim's doing? Because he came on after Faith, you know, made compliments, and, oh, it's just the most fantastic thing that's ever happened to me on this show. I mean, that downplays page 54. I mean, this is the most perfect thing, Paul. And then he comes on, and then he starts getting all over Legend. And I thought Legend was very accurate in his conversations. Every time you call Jim out, Jim has a mental breakdown, just like he did, you know, when you went to him and hung up on him. You just clicked his ass out of here. You ain't got nothing to say. Be gone. That's what you did. You said, be gone. And you know, I thought that was a correct move on your part. But, you know, Paul, I mean, how many times does Jim have to come on here and ask for you to agree with him? And let me say this. On Twitter, if you go out there and look, there is a picture of Jim as an 11-year-old on the YMCA team from 1957 in Tuscaloosa. And if you're not sure who he is, he'll be the top guy on the third row on the far left. He looks like that little booger-eating moron, the banjo player from Deliverance. You'll pick him out real quick because he's got that look. But that is a known picture of Jim in some kind of uniform at the YMCA, and he's 11 years old in 1957. So if he's 11 years old at the Y, Paul, at the Y, now the Y is going to stay, they take them birth certificates pretty serious. Now, if he's 11 years old at the YMCA in Tuscaloosa in 1957, you do the quick math, and it's not hard. It's not trigonometry. It's not geometry. Hell, it ain't even geography, people. It's basic, simple math. That puts him in that 77, 78-year-old bracket, doesn't it?
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.